songs. I can, in my mind, hear George Beverly Shea singing this old hymn. Of course, it had to be lowered a little bit for his voice, but I think I noticed perhaps a typo in this song as we just were singing it. On that third verse, when songs give place to singing, I think it's supposed to be sighing. When songs give place to sighing, when hope within me dies. I think it's talking about when you're not ready to sing. And songs give way to singing. Okay. All right. This morning, we started a series on what topic? Discipleship. Discipleship 101. Well, this is not part of the series tonight, but I thought I would follow through on a little bit. It's at least related to the series. And let me pull out the right message. I pulled out this morning's, and I was going to preach that one again tonight. God uses various tools in the life of his disciples, doesn't he? To sharpen them and to shape them. Even on Wednesday night, I used a little acrostic, the words being, please be patient, God is not finished with me yet. And certainly we recognize that we're all his workmanship and God is still working on us. Even there's a chorus that God's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It's wonderful that God's working on us, isn't it? Molding us into the image of his dear son. And we know that one day we will all be, when we shall see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And so we're going to be in the image of his dear son. Tell me some strange, perhaps, tools that God may have used in the life of some of his disciples that you can remember from the New Testament, some tools that he maybe used to teach a lesson or a time to teach his disciples something. Can you remember any such times? Yes. Have you been looking at my... The very first one I had written down was the coin in the fish's mouth. And so he wanted to teach his disciple what? He was trying to teach his disciple. Who was the disciple in that situation? Peter. And what was he trying to teach Peter? Yeah, God's in control. God can provide. You need to pay taxes? Well, here, go catch a fish, you know, and God will provide. What an unusual place to look for money in a fish's mouth. I've caught a lot of fish over the years. I still never found a coin in a fish's mouth. A few years ago when we were in Israel, one of the meals that we sometimes have over there is what they call St. Peter's fish. It's just carp. But anyway, St. Peter's fish. It's very delicious. It's very wonderful and flaky and nice. They serve it with the whole head on and the eyes sitting there looking at you and so forth. And my wife asked the waiter to come by and break the head off one time. And so the waiter had a big napkin and he broke the head off and took the head away because she was tired of looking at the fish and having the fish look at her. But one time I took a picture. I took a coin out of my pocket and stuck it in the fish's mouth and then took a picture of it laying there on my plate, you know. But that's one of the tools. Isn't that an unusual tool to teach the disciple a lesson? A coin in a fish's mouth. Can anybody think of another? All right. A storm and walking on the water to teach the disciple again, in this case the same disciple, to trust him and wow, what a lesson. Another one, yes. Oh, I thought you were raising your hand there. All right. A well, all right. And what was he teaching his disciples there? It's about living water. And if you drink of this well, you'll thirst again, but the water that I give you, you'll never thirst again. Yes. All right. Raising a dead person. Wow. What a lesson in everything that God can do. Water to wine. And 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He's used a lot of different tools, hasn't he, to try to teach his disciples how to trust him and how to have greater faith in him. And I'm not sure exactly what tools God might be using. Primarily, I think he uses his word today in our lives, and he uses the Holy Spirit in our lives. But God certainly is the God of providence, and he's the God who can use circumstances, and he can use various things in our lives to teach us and train us. And it's wonderful when he uses some things that we like, right? Sometimes it's not so wonderful if he uses a tool in our life that we don't particularly enjoy. Let's read 2 Corinthians. And once I get there, you'll immediately recognize the context here. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 12. Let's get the context here a little bit. In verse 1, it says, "It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth, such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me." So what's happened in Paul's life here? He's had this wonderful vision of heaven, and he's not even quite ready to fully be able to explain it or describe it. It's such a wonderful experience that he's had. But then just after having talked about this wonderful experience, he talks about something starting in the next section, and let's read it. "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." What we see is an unusual tool in this passage, isn't it? What was the tool? Thorns. Now, immediately, some might say, well, what were those thorns, Pastor? Well, I'm not sure exactly what those thorns were. I don't know exactly. And you know, I think it's a very good thing that we don't know, because as sure as we knew what his thorn was, we'd all be claiming it in our own lives, you know. But when we don't know what the thorn is, guess what? We can recognize that there can be different kinds of thorns. Do you know, how did Paul consider, maybe not at first, but eventually, how did he come to relate to these thorns? He thanked God for them. He took pleasure in them. I'm not sure how long it would take me to reach that point if I had a thorn in my life. But there's all kinds of possibilities for this thorn. Some have said it's a physical problem. There are verses where he talks about his eyesight. So some think it may have been poor eyesight. There might be some problems with his feet and traveling, and he may have had severe feet problems. As he got older, maybe he had some memory loss. We don't know exactly what physical problem he may have endured. It may have been an emotional problem. Do you think Paul ever got lonely? To our knowledge, did he ever marry? No, he was single and unmarried, and so maybe he was lonely. It could have been a spiritual problem. Do you think Paul had spiritual enemies? Yes. Do you think he was ever attacked by Satan? Do you think that there was ever temptations that were placed in his path and discouragement? And it could have been a whole number of various problems that were his thorn. But Paul recognized that he probably would not have matured to the place that he did without these thorns, that God used them in a wonderful way. So he uses a coin in a fish's mouth. He uses a boy's loaves and fishes. He can use a storm. He can use all kinds of tools to teach us. But sometimes he may have to use a thorn. How did Paul profit from these thorns? Let's just consider that for a few moments tonight here. What kind of profit did Paul get from this thorn? In this first part of this passage that we read, how did Paul refer to himself? He said, "I knew a man." I knew a man. He was talking in the what person? Third person. About what? A first person experience. And so he was writing as if this was someone else, but it's in reality written about himself. And he said, "I know a man. I know a man." Notice how many times in those first few verses it says, verse 2, "I know a man." Then in verse 3, "I know a man." Verse 4, "how that he." Verse 4, "not lawful for a man to utter." He keeps using the word man. Do you know what I think one of the things Paul learned with his thorn? To keep reminding himself that he was human. That he was just a man. He had this tremendous, tremendous spiritual experience as described. Caught up into heaven. Wow, what a spiritual experience. But the thorn kept reminding him that he was human. Just a man. A man who was created by God. A man that's plagued with weaknesses. A man that's finite. And you know, many times we begin to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. And maybe we'll need some thorns to remind us that we're men. But what was the relationship, or what happened in verse 7? Here's a second truth about what the thorn did for him. First, it kept him reminded that he was a man. What's the second? Kept him humble and brought him back to what? Reality. You know, do you think he ever wanted to relive that experience? Man, once you've been caught up in the third heaven, how could you ever come back to reality? You know? And he said, "lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh." Lest I should be exalted above measure. Have you ever heard the phrase, "don't be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good"? Don't be so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. Well, Paul was brought back down to earth and down to reality because of a thorn. And until we eventually leave this earth and do all go to glory, we need to live in this present life that he's given us and be ready to face the realities of life. And Paul was brought back to reality. And then in verse 6, said, "For though I would desire to glory, I should not be a fool, for I say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me." And so, again, I heard someone mention humility. One of the things that this thorn did was kept Paul humble. Man, do you think if you'd had this kind of experience, you'd want to tell people about it? I don't know anywhere else in Scripture it tells about this experience, that he wrote anywhere else about this experience. If you have some kind of spiritual accomplishment, spiritual breakthrough, spiritual understanding, what's the danger that's always there if we have some big spiritual experience or spiritual breakthrough? What's the danger? Pride. Pride is always the danger. And so Paul was kept from pride by this thorn. But in verse 8, what did this thorn do for Paul? Yeah, taught him how to rely upon prayer. What did he do? "I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me." He learned how to pray because of this thorn. Is any thorn that teaches you how to pray a good thorn? Probably. Probably it's a good thorn when that forces us to our knees and forces us to ask the Lord and talk to the Lord and speak to the Lord. Then in verse 9 and 10, what did this thorn do for him? Made him strong. It says, "My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect into weakness." Paul said, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." And the end of verse 10, "For when I am weak, then am I strong." And so Paul recognized that his spiritual strength was somehow related to this thorn. He was strengthened because of this thorn. And he was reminded of where his strength always came from. Our strength doesn't come from ourselves. Our strength always comes from the Lord. And that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now, as I look at verse 10, I really have to ask myself the question, could I thank God for all of those type of things? Infirmities, reproaches, necessities, persecutions, distresses. They all sound like things I'd like to avoid. I'm not looking forward to any persecutions this week, or any distresses, or any reproaches. Now, I pray that if God allowed those to come into my life, that I would learn to trust him more. But I'm not necessarily looking forward to those things, but God allowed him to be reminded that he was a man, reminded that he should be humble, that he should pray, that he should rely upon God for his strength, that bring him back to reality. But also in verse 7, what also did he learn because of thorns? The reality of Satan. That Satan is real. I don't watch cartoons at all anymore. You know, I haven't seen a cartoon for a long time. But in cartoons, if they are trying to represent Satan, how does a cartoon usually represent Satan? Yeah, a pitchfork, horns, a tail, a fork with some kind of a point on the end of the tail, you know. And you know, that's exactly what Satan wants people to think about him, that he's nothing more than a cartoon character. But what was Paul convinced of because of this thorn? In the reality of his spiritual battle with Satan. He said, not only was this thorn given to me, but that thorn was actually a messenger of Satan to buffet me. That somehow there was a relationship between that thorn and Satan. And we all need to be reminded of our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And we can't ever let our guard down. And Satan is always there seeking to cause us to fall. But then, in verse 9, I love this. One of the things that this taught Paul was to be sensitive to the voice of God. Be sensitive to the voice of God. In my Bible, verse 9 is, part of it is in red type. How many of you have red print? Yep. And that's supposedly what? Jesus Christ speaking. And so here's Christ speaking to Paul, and he is now sensitive to the voice of Christ. And the word of God became more vibrant to him and more important to him. And any thorn that can cause us to be more sensitive to the word of God is wonderful in our lives. But then, in verse 9 again, here's one of the best things. Because of the thorn, what else did Paul receive? More grace. More grace. My grace is sufficient. And so, all because of a thorn. All of those 8 things because of a thorn. So let's not try to avoid thorns. Let's remember that God can use them. And many times our usefulness for God is in direct proportion to how we have responded to perhaps some of the tools that God is using in our life, whether they be easy tools or difficult tools, or the tools that God is using in our lives. Those lessons connected to those tools, and may we become stronger and more useful to the Lord because we have submitted to the tools, even perhaps the thorns that God uses in our lives to make us more conformed to Christ. I don't know what tool God may use this week or next month in my life or in your life, but I know he wants to use those tools to sharpen us, to shape us as disciples so that we're more useful to him. Let's pray. I'm not sure. Perhaps God is using some kind of a thorn in your life right now. Maybe it's a tremendous family problem or need. Maybe it's a physical problem or need. Maybe it's a financial need. I don't know what thorn might be there that Satan wants to use to discourage, but God is allowing so that we might grow. Whatever that thorn, let's trust him. Father, I pray that each of us tonight might learn to better and closer walk with you. Help us not to avoid or seek to avoid those thorns. Help us not to run from problems, but to trust you in the midst of those problems, knowing that you have a purpose and a plan that we might be more conformed to the image of your dear Son. So help us to respond in ways that demonstrate our faith and our desire to please you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.